Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode, 43? Episode 43 of the Gen X Pop Culture Podcast. It covers any and all things movies, TV, radio, comedy, podcasts, books, etc., as long as we like them. I'm your host, Tim Andrews, and joining me today, as always, is my co-host, Jeff Lieboff. And this week, we're joined by our very own young Jamie. And to get that, you need to be a Joe Rogan fan. Our YouTube guru and all-around cool art guy, and he knows quite a bit about pop culture himself, Mr. Dustin Lawler. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Thanks, man. Jeff? Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. We were going to have a guest this week. If you've been listening to me on the radio in Atlanta, I don't know, back in 2005 was my first time on air, and I joined the regular guy's show. It was just Larry and Eric. Steve wasn't brought back yet. And they had an intern by the name of Garrett Phillips, who was known then as the 40-year-old intern. And he's way older than that now. We're all way older than that now. But he wrote a book called Look Out for Shorts. And I'll be speaking to him. Well, we'll be speaking to him shortly. But this book is a memoir because I forget what year it was, but he was selling Molly and slinging nugs, which is weed, at a Widespread Panic show in Asheville, right? That's the name of the town, North Carolina. And he got busted and ratted out by his accomplice. And he did some time in the North Carolina penal system. And this book has a lot of funny stories and what it's like to be in jail for a guy that age. So we'll have a link up. You can check it out. And we'll be talking to him very, very soon. What else is new? Oh yeah. I don't want to see Jeff because Jeff's notorious for this. He and Jeffrey Toobin have a lot in common.
I'm going to do my Jeffrey Toobin impersonation if you don't mind right now.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, man. No. Your camera. You didn't know the camera was still on. You thought you were in another room. Can you believe somebody, you knew what was bound to happen in this era of everybody doing Zoom, that somebody famous would get busted, but you just didn't think it would be a guy who knocked up Jeff Greenfield's daughter and then told her to get an abortion. He's kind of a douchebag, this Jeffrey Toobin. I don't know.
Well, everybody spanks. I guess you just got to pick your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was he jerking off to? There was only like two women in that whole Zoom.
I don't know. Has anyone actually seen a real screen grab from that Zoom? Because everything I've seen has been fake. With like, yeah, and then somebody took a Photoshop of a dude who had a very tiny wiener, and they're like, "This is him, and this is him," and he's kind of, you know, got a belly, and he's an older dude, but the penis is uncircumcised, so it's not him. I mean, you have to use deductive reasoning to figure that out, but. Evidently, he was sexting or having a one-on-one with someone else at the same time. I just don't understand. I mean, you're doing an election dry run for election night with your coworkers from the New Yorker, CNN or whatever, and then you got to whip it out. I mean, and then his thing is, I apologize to my wife and my family. Well, you embarrass the fuck out of them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you would do in that instance. I don't know what brings someone to that point, really.
Hang on.
But then,
yeah, just figure it out. Dustin.
Yeah. Well, I got another window open.
See, here's the thing. I can't even see anything. You guys are going to have to stand up.
No, I'll turn the... See, look, there you go.
Oh, great.
That's what he did. He lowered it down, and he must have had two computers going at the same time. I had heard that he had opened up, was blowing up the screen and looking at the women that were in the chat room with him. And I think it's that thing of like, oh, I hope I don't get caught, but I want to get caught. And this is what's naughty, but who knows? Who cares? But it's just kind of gross. I don't know.
Yeah.
The guy's 60 years old. So that gives us hope, right? Jeff's over 50. I turned 50 in 2 weeks. How old are you, Dustin?
45.
You got 5 years. So, you know, 10 years from now, you still be able to spank it on a Zoom call. That's pretty impressive for a 60-year-old dude.
In 10 years, they better have fucking hologram Zoom.
Have better what? Zoom.
Better Zoom. Yeah. Hey, I'm in the meeting here. I wanted to make a little transition. I want to thank our listener, John Sutherland. He also listens to the Von Hessler Doctrine. He's a very generous man. He's a very nice guy. And I did this drawing, and he got a fracture made of it. Fractures, those, you can hang it on your wall. It's glass or plexiglass. And it's the drawing I did of as the president. Nice. All the characters in Kiss. Meant it's gone, Donald's. If you don't listen to Von Hessler Doctrine, and I'm sure most of you do if you're listening to this, but if not, I do parodies, really, really bad parodies as Donald Trump. That's the name of his band, Demented Don and the Donald.
I actually used to do a lot of podcast ads. I haven't heard anything from them lately. They must be falling on some hard times.
Well, he sent it to me 2 months ago. He sent it to the radio station, and I just, you know, there's never been a reason for me to go down there, but I went down yesterday and picked it up. So I think it's really cool. And now I just have to convince my wife that it will look really cool in the living room.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to
happen. Put it on the front door.
On the front door. Somebody will steal it because it's got Trump on it. And nobody has a sense of humor anymore. He's got to go. He's evil.
And there's plenty of space on that wall behind you.
Yeah, right below the Who thing.
Put it on the other wall.
Well, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it. So you're going to have to go to our YouTube page. By the way, Dustin, I want to say thank you. The YouTube page is really, really cool. And I like what you've been doing with the filters and all the artwork and all the interstitials. So I think it's really cool cool stuff.
Thanks. Thanks, man. Yeah. I enjoy it. It's fun.
You the man.
You the man.
I like doing it. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned the Jamie. that's what I feel like sometimes. I feel like a Jamie.
You don't have COVID, do you? Because Jamie has COVID.
Does he now?
Yeah, well, he tested positive, so you don't know what that means. He's a relatively healthy younger guy, but
yeah,
put that up, Jamie. Put that up. But yeah, there's no production going on this week on the Joe Rogan podcast. He was going to interview Kanye West Friday, and that would have been epic. And I think
next president, Kanye West.
Yes, I voted for him last week. I sent my ballot in, and I wrote in Kanye because he's not on the Georgia ballot. I think there's a conspiracy afoot because Spotify, you know, all their employees, They don't like Joe Rogan. A lot of their employees don't like him and they want to regulate what he says. And this Kanye thing, I think there's something afoot. I think
Joe shot himself in the foot when he spoke with Alex Jones and told him how, I think he was letting him know that when his episodes weren't going to be on, like that they were missing. And he told them that, hey, you know, once this Spotify thing gets rolling, you know, nobody's going to be able to tell me no. And Alex Jones asked him, he said, hey, can I say that? And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so Alex went on his show and just told, you know, he embellished as he always does.
Alex Jones?
Yeah. It told him to tell it, you know, he gave him a little thing. So yeah, you can tell him that, you know, we'll be free to say what we want to. And of course he turned it into, he's starting a war against these people that are trying to hold him down and all this stuff. And so when that happened, I think that's where the Spotify people heard Alex Jones saying this, and they started ramping up the, oh no, we're not going to let him. And I think that's where it came from. I think he did it inadvertently through Alex Jones did it himself.
Alex Jones is not the guy you want to be your spokesperson. No. First of all, everybody knows who he really is. He's Bill Hicks. And Bill Hicks faked his death to become Alex Jones, the real Alex Jones, who was a skinny little guy. Sorry, Jeff, you know about all these conspiracies, right?
No.
Okay. That's a good one, though. I haven't heard this one.
You've never heard that? Go to, oh, you got to. There's tons of videos that claim that Alex Jones is really Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks faked his death to become Alex Jones. They're from the same place. They got the same friends, and they both have weak prostates. So that's an interesting conspiracy. It's not true. Bill Hicks is not. Bill Hicks died a long time ago. He did not
meet
Alex Jones. But it's fun. I mean, if you're able to watch a conspiracy video and go, this is pretty entertaining. And then at the end of it, go, man, I believe that. As long as you're not stoned, I mean, it's easy.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
Like, you guys, you know, this, I'm not going to get into politics about it, but the Hunter Biden story, if any of it is true in the drug problem and everything, that sucks. And I feel bad for people who have that kind of fucking problem going on. But the embellishment from Alex Jones. I watched a video. There's video of him eating a Chinese kid. He broke the Chinese kid's jaw and he's eating them and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what in the fuck are you talking? Idiot.
The only thing I saw was the picture of the pipe on the pillow.
Yeah, and that could have been.
And I was like, that could have been laid right in front of him.
Right, he could have been asleep, and some Russian guy snuck into his hotel room. Whatever it is, wherever you fall in the political spectrum, you have to be discerning when you see stuff like that. You know, it's so easy to get wrapped up into it if you have a bent, and you'd be like, oh well, this is true. This is all true. No, he did not eat a Chinese kid. I'm gonna go out on a limb, Jeff. What do you think? Do you think Hunter Biden ate a Chinese kid?
Yeah,
I don't either. I don't.
Maybe a hand or an arm or something.
Yeah, maybe an arm, maybe a leg, maybe he ate a Laotian. I don't know, but he didn't eat a Chinese kid. So there's that. God, what the hell was I thinking about? Anyway, I'm looking at all these questions. I'm trying to avoid the topic I want to talk about.
I heard that Katy Perry was actually JonBenet Ramsey.
I've heard that rumor too. You've heard that? Yeah, Katy Perry is.
Yeah, I've heard it.
But I don't remember Katy or JonBenet Ramsey didn't have a gigantic jaw. Like, you ever see Katy Perry before she became famous when she was, what was her name? Katy, her real name. And she was a gospel singer and she was going.
Yeah.
And then she sold her soul to Satan. And that's how she got, you know, famous and popular and everything. I met her one time. She was really nice, except for her. She was sweating and her makeup, the sweat like carved like a Grand Canyon through the pound of makeup on her face. It was interesting. But yeah, Jeff, you're probably right. I think that there's another conspiracy going around about JonBenet Ramsey that she wasn't even a real person. There's some nut job I heard on a conspiracy podcast who said that it was all digital creations and that they weren't real people. And, you know, just people believe whatever shit they want to believe, I guess. I don't know. I know what I believe. Go ahead.
No, I don't think there's a, I mean, digitally, I mean, we're just now getting into an era when that could be a possibility, creating someone, you know, fictitiously, give them an entire life online. I don't think 10, 12, was it 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm. No, 20.
Yeah. 20?
Yeah, more than 20. It was in the 90s, so.
Yeah, there's no way that could have even been a possibility.
But you got to think that the level of deep fakery that we all have access to and we could do with our phones or, you know, computers or whatever. Think about what they have out there in that's so advanced that we don't have access to it. So you don't know. I think President Trump is probably not even real. He's probably, you know, living on an island somewhere, and this is just a deep fake, and we're all being scammed. I think. Could be.
We can dream, can't we?
We can dream. We can dream. So what else is going on? I have some notes here. No Ira tonight, and Steph isn't with us tonight either. We'll hopefully be able to check in with them in a little while. I think next week, Autumn Fisher, who used to be on this show weekly and is, of course, with me every day, Monday through Friday on the Von Hessler Doctrine, she's going to be joining us. And so this week, we aren't going to be doing a Radio Labyrinth podcast recast. We've done three now, right? Right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. And
there's been three of them so far.
So, and we've been posting them every week on Patreon, patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And if you go to that, you can find out what level you have access to it. I believe it's the $5 and up level. So, go there and watch those videos. If you're a Patreon member, you have access to those videos. And before I even move on with that, if you have not responded to me with your address to get your stickers and pins, go ahead and do that because I want to get those sent out to you. And the most recent sticker, we have Jeff Lieboff made this really cool sticker. You can see it on the YouTube channel, but you can't see it on a podcast. But they're pretty cool, man. It's the Starbucks logo. But
it's great.
I think it's cool. Then we have the Jurassic Park right there that Jeff did, which is pretty cool. Can you see it?
Yeah.
And then there's also the pins, which are based on the Goonies. So those
are awesome.
Bunch of people have had them, huh?
The Jeffrey Toobin penis pin.
Yeah, well, that one's just going to be a thing of lube, you know. Just a little. So anyway, where was I going with? Okay, so the table reads. We've been having fun doing those. Autumn's going to do one with us next week, one more Halloween movie. And then after that, we're going to do a scene from Reservoir Dogs. But this week, we're going to make the first one we did live. And what was the first one we did?
The Fatal Attraction.
That's right. So it's me, Steph, and Jeff doing Fatal Attraction with Chicken Lady from, I'm a Chicken Lady from Kids in the Hall. And I forgot what was the character? What was the other character? The Dan? It was just Dan, or did you?
Yeah, I didn't do a character.
But yeah, Jeff, it was just Dan.
So we're going to make that live, and there should be a link in the video. Dustin will add that. Put that up there, Dustin. And if you're listening on the podcast, of course, the link will be in the description, or you can just go to our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth.
Radio Labyrinth Podcast.
Radio Labyrinth Podcast, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll be, I'll drop that active when we drop the audio podcast.
Awesome. So that'll be, well, whenever. By the time you've seen this, all this stuff will be taken care of. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Dustin's our man. And if he can't do it, I can either. we are going to do a rad lib today with the Redbox Troll, this week. So that's good. I got one finally. I was struggling. I'm like, what am I going to do? But then I found one. Before we get to all that, we'll talk about some of the stuff that's going on in the entertainment world. So I saw today that the surviving cast of Happy Days, they're all going to get together. Now, Jeff, is this a table read, or are they just going to do a reunion type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. It's some kind of virtual event, so they probably are going to read an episode or something.
And everybody's invited except for one guy who was a major character on this show through the second half, or maybe a little bit longer than that, of the series run, and then actually got his own spinoff with another co-host, Scott Baio, who played Chachi, I guess wasn't invited.
Well, it's because it's for a Democratic fundraiser.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe they asked him and he said no, or do you think they just, nothing, they didn't ask?
Why would they even ask him?
He's a Republican?
Yeah, well, he's a major Trump supporter.
I didn't know he was a Trump supporter. I know he's a Republican, but I didn't know he was big into supporting the president, so I didn't know that. I followed him for a while on Twitter, but he fights with too many people. You know what I mean? And I don't want to watch people who fight with people. It's boring.
Yeah, I think that may be a good reason why. He just seems confrontational.
And so who was it? It was John Stamos. Yeah. Can I be Chachi? And what was his response to that?
Scott Baio said he should just look after Aunt Becky.
Well, she's in that real tough prison where you can play golf and water flowers, and I don't know what else you can do there. But I know she's in one of those wonderful little prisons that's not too harsh. I don't know. Happy Day. Are you interested in watching that? Or are you gonna have to pay? It's a dollar, so I mean, it's something you can afford. I don't know. I don't know if I'd watch that.
Why don't they get Spike?
I know. That's what I thought. Why didn't they get Spike? And what happened to that kid Spike? Why did they get rid of him and bring Chachi in? Was Spike too little? That's a mystery. Maybe you know what happened. Chuck kidnapped Spike and took him to Jeffrey Epstein's island, and that's where they live with Bill Hicks.
Probably.
Here's some good news. Coming to America might premiere on Amazon on December 18th. That kind of sucks because let me tell you why. That movie was going to be a hit. It was going to be a big box office hit. So I feel bad for the movie people and certainly the theaters, because I mean, it's been what, 32 years since the
original. I'm sure they wanted to have a theatrical release, but this is not the year to do it.
No, definitely not this year. But, you know, hell, I'll get it on Amazon. I mean, we all want to see this. I want to see it. I know that Jeff does. Yeah. You want to see
this? Yeah, I do. That'll be one of the few I would pay to see the day it came out full price.
And shot right here in Atlanta, most of it, yeah. Right?
Yep.
And some artwork from our friend Wade Harris. Harrison will be in it. So, right? They did use some of it, right? We had him on the show. Yeah. I'm having a memory, a brain fart today. So he'll let us know.
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah. Showtime decided to make 2020 worse and dig up Dexter and throw that shit together, because I guess we're going to get a mini season of Dexter. What do they call it? It's a revival, but it's not a regular series. It's a what?
Limited series.
Limited series. So what, it'll be 8 episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
When we last saw Dexter, he was on a boat with a beard.
No, he was a lumberjack.
Oh, that's right. He escaped on his boat and became a lumberjack.
But they're saying that they're going to this new series is going to make up for that shitty finale.
So how are they going to get him back? Deb's dead, right?
Yeah.
So they're just going to bring him back. Dead. What do you mean everybody's dead?
His wife's dead.
Well, yeah, she got killed in season 4.
Yeah.
I guess he has his kid. His kid will probably be like a teenager now and probably killing dogs. And he's got to be like, oh, that'll be the story arc. He has to help his kid learn how to be a good serial killer and only kill bad people. So it'll be like, the courtship.
It'll be like the dad character from the first season.
Yeah, so it'll be the courtship of Dexter's father or something like that. Well, I forget Dexter's kid's name, but that's what it'll be. I forget the name of the kid. I don't know. I like Dexter enough, so I'll probably watch it. I've done one rewatch on Dexter. That's as much as I'll ever give it. But, those last couple seasons were just so, so terrible. But
I'll rewatch it up until the Trinity Killer season and then stop.
You don't like the season with Jimmy Smits? I like that season.
Yeah.
I don't like the one with Tom Cruise's kid and Commander Adama.
It never gets better than the Trinity Killer season. So
never. Nope, that was really good. So The Outsider season 2 is coming to, I forget what network it is. Stephen King, The Outsider season 2. Loved the first season of Outsider.
Oh yeah, it was wonderful.
It's going to be based on that latest book.
If It Bleeds.
Yeah.
If It Bleeds. Now, I forget, The Outsider was such an interesting type of story, just a really fascinating type of story. What can they do with it? Are they going to follow the same killer, or will it be a different type of thing?
No, it's a different, totally different killer.
Okay,
yeah, but it's mostly Holly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Holly Gibney, and then it's another creature that may be like the same kind of creature that they killed in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different one.
Well, good.
Maybe more of them all over the place, and we don't know.
Well, I really enjoyed that series, man. I thought it was good. I thought everybody did a very good job acting in it, and I don't know. I really dug it. So,
yeah, I didn't have a problem with the switch from the Hollies from Mercedes. Had a different Holly than the Outsider, but she did a great job. I think it was a good take on the character too.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought she did a great job. Also, I'm just trying to find her name. Do you know her name?
No.
Yeah, it didn't. Well,
terrible, 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 terrible. I'm going to find the cast right here. Okay. Cynthia Erivo, and she was fantastic. So
they made her more of a savant than autistic.
Yeah, in the first Mr. Mercedes in the book, if you're listening to it, the narration, she sounds really bizarre and not interesting. Yeah. But they do a really good job with it in The Outsider. What's this Super High? I don't know what that is. I'm looking at the story. Super High.
Craig Robinson, Andy Samberg movie.
Yeah.
Looks like it's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah, it looks like they stole the idea from Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, Blunt Man and Chronic?
Yeah, it looks like a Blunt Man and Chronic. But I'm sure taken to a more less comic booky, more realistic, even though it's dealing with superheroes. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be as campy as Blunt Man and Chronic. They were practically a 60s Batman duo. So, yeah.
Oh, but I read something else. A story popped up, and I don't know why it popped up in my aggregator, but it was from yesterday. Another story about Stephen King detailing why he hates The Shining as much as he does. And I'm only bringing that up because that's a scene we're going to do next week from The Shining. But go ahead.
He was done. I thought he was done with that.
No. He said he didn't like the cast this time. He said Jack Nicholson wasn't the right character to play, Jack. And that Shelley
when
Long?
No. Duvall. No,
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, she was the wrong character to wrong actress to play Wendy, but I don't know.
The wrong actress to play Wendy.
Really? I mean, if you read the novel, do you guys think so? Okay, why?
Well, she in the novel, she's a blonde, tall, strong woman that was very much in control of the relationship. And Jack was a person that was perfectly normal besides his alcohol problem in the past that he was getting over, mm-hmm. he was coming into it in a lot better place than Nicholson comes into it in the movie. Okay. So watching the descent into madness was what King intended the scariness of the story to be. Whereas Jack Nicholson had just come off of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was coming into it with this perception of being crazy to begin with.
Okay.
And so that really, you know, it didn't set a good flow for the story in King's opinion. And then of course, you know, Duvall, she poor thing, she got just rammed by Kubrick, is just beat her down to the point that he got the performance he wanted, but it took pretty much destroying her fragile
ego.
Well, not so much your ego, but even her personality. She was there for 18 months by herself in another country, filming the whole thing. He told everyone on the cast and crew not to encourage her, not to tell her she did a good job, to ignore her if she comes around, just walk the other way, do what you have to do, but ignore her. Yeah. And he wanted her to be in that position. You know, the scene that you guys are going to do, she had done 200 times.
Are you fucking kidding?
No, he made her do it 200 times and didn't tell her what was going to happen when it started. So she, at this point, had been there for a year almost, and he hands her the baseball bat and tells her where to stand, and then she doesn't know what's going to happen. She knows her lines, but Jack just comes in and walks her up the steps pretty much.
Did you know this stuff?
No.
I didn't either, man. Wow, you're like the Stephen King expert, Dustin.
I've been doing a lot of King over the last year and a half. I've kind of really earned my constant reader badge.
That's awesome. So I've heard that he berated her. I didn't know it ran that deep. Holy cow. Well, the poor thing. No wonder she did Popeye. She needed something fun to do after that.
Yeah, exactly. Did you ever see the Dr. Phil interview that she did a couple of years ago?
No, I didn't.
It was probably the most, as far as seeing someone that you had known at one point to be sane and coherent, to see them be completely off their rocker, for lack of a better explanation. I mean, she was gone. She was saying that it was right after Robin Williams had died.
Right.
And she said that, because she dated Robin for a while. And
Kelly.
And she said that, I still see Robin from time to time. Well, what happened to him? Oh, he didn't die. He's a shapeshifter.
Oh.
And she was like, yeah, that, you know, she thinks that the work, you know, there's people. When she gets out of this interview, she said, the security people here, she goes, they're going to accost me before I leave. I mean, she's that paranoid, just gone, just completely.
All because of Stanley Kubrick.
It started there. I'm sure there's other issues. I'm sure genetically, if, you know, mental issues, but it started during that filming of The Shining, which is sad, very sad.
I love her in Annie Hall when she's playing the journalist, the Rolling Stone journalist that he's dating. And they go see the Maharaji, and she goes, oh, look, it's the Maharaji. And he went, God just came out of the toilet, something like that. Oh, no, he goes, oh, look, God's going into the toilet.
God's going into the toilet.
Yeah. happy birthday to this week. It's cake week for one of our top radios by the name of Roby Neely. Also wanted to say get well soon to Eric Malmstrom, a longtime listener and supporter of Radio Labyrinth. And we found out yesterday that actor Jeff Bridges is suffering from lymphoma. So the dude has cancer. We hope that works out. He seemed to be, you know, happy or not happy, but he seemed to be in good spirits. He said, you know, that he thinks he's going to beat it. So let's hope so.
Yes, very much so. That was a tough one. That was a gut punch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all this year needs.
Yeah, 2020.
Huge outpouring of support, though, for him on social media, Twitter, and everywhere.
Everybody loves him. What's not to like about Jeff Bridges? I mean, you pick any decade since we've been alive, and he's in a movie that we like. I mean, the first Jeff Bridges movie I saw in my life was King Kong in the theater at the Twain Theater, probably the same place Jeff saw it, unless you saw it in Elmira.
I saw it at the 123 in Elmira.
That's right. You've said it before. Really long, really long movie, but nostalgia takes over for me. I will watch that movie, even though you don't see King Kong for like 90 minutes. But still a really good movie. Go ahead.
Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. That one. I just recently rewatched. So good.
I need to check
Starman.
That. Starman.
Starman was awesome, yeah.
Starman. With Terry the Toad from American Graffiti. He's in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my ID too, but it wasn't in a flood. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, who are open. And you can go to their website and find out all that information. You can go in there, sit down, have yourself a nice, delicious meal, bring the family. They have a great staff and a great owner. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro. Their website is atlantapizzagyro.com. You can order online and when you order online, you can do pickup or delivery, and you don't have to pay till you get there. So don't worry about that. You don't have to pay ahead of time. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro wants to thank everyone who has been supportive to them and to other restaurants through these tough times for the entire industry. And listen, if you have been to Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, I implore you, please leave a review on Google. And we can't forget our friend Brett Perkins, who I did reach out to.
Brett Perkins, I said.
But I haven't heard back from him. Get Brett Perkins, I said, the super across the way. And his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all of your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2005 with a fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. Thank you, Jeff. All right, so let's get to this thing. This has been, Jeff, you've been itching me all week. I've been wanting to reach through the phone and throttle you, but you got to tell me why. All right, I'm going to ask Dustin. Dustin, have you watched the new Netflix movie, and I guess it's out other places, The Trial of the Chicago 7?
No, I've seen the previews multiple times because it's on the home screen and it just plays and plays, mm-hmm. but I haven't jumped in and watched, no.
All right, so Jeff, you've seen it and you love it. Tell us why you love it and why it's so good.
It's written by Aaron Sorkin.
Mm-hmm. Who did what? What would people know Aaron Sorkin for most?
The West Wing.
Okay.
And Newsroom on HBO.
Mm-hmm. Which
somebody
was
yelling out in the hall. Hear that?
What's that?
Somebody yelling out in the hall. I can hear that.
As long as they're not yelling at you.
No, they're just yelling. And the acting is amazing. Mark Rylance, the dude, he's won an Academy Award before for, I think, supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
He plays William Kunstler, the lawyer of the Chicago 7.
Right.
And he's fucking amazing. He's a British dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't know it at all watching his portrayal of William Kunstler. Dead on.
Okay.
Aaron Cohen plays Abby Hoffman, and he's tall, like taller than Abby Hoffman was.
Way taller than Abby Hoffman, and too skinny.
Yeah, but he does a great job.
Now, you interviewed William Kunstler, right?
Yeah, I interviewed almost all of Chicago 7 when Abby Hoffman died.
That's right. That's right. Did you ever get to interview Abby?
No, he was dead.
Oh, okay.
We met him, though, at Ithaca College.
Yeah, that's right. We did meet him. So let's back up a little bit. Let's back up. We'll talk more about this film in a few minutes. So go back.
Did you watch it?
No. Go back. I'm going to start from the beginning. So if you're not familiar with the Chicago 7, the Chicago 7 actually was 8 people that were brought to trial for allegedly.
The whole stuff with Bobby Seale is amazing, too. Like,
right, right. And that's Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Right. Julius Hoffman, the judge, is telling William Kunstler, why don't you just be his lawyer? And Bobby Seale doesn't want William Kunstler to be his lawyer. He wants his lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
His lawyer is in the hospital because he had his gallbladder out. So that that they don't let him, his whole trial, they don't let him have a lawyer.
Right.
And he starts to get pissed, and he's like, my lawyer's not here. And Kuntzler is amazing, saying, I'm not this guy's lawyer. Stop telling me to be this guy's lawyer. He doesn't want me to be his lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. So let's go back. So Jeff and I are in, I guess, senior high school. In the fall of 1987, HBO puts out a teleplay. I believe it was shot on videotape. Puts out a teleplay called Conspiracy, The Trial of the Chicago 8. And this involves the group of people who allegedly started a riot in Chicago around the time of the 1968 Democratic National Convention, wherein Hubert Humphrey was granted the nomination and ended up running against Richard Nixon in the fall. Hubert Humphrey, obviously not the top choice. He was Lyndon Johnson's vice president. Lyndon Johnson decided to not run for a second term, even though he could have, because he did the last year of JFK's term, and then he won on his own, beat Goldwater, and then he could have run again if he wanted to, but he decided not to. Probably would have lost because of Vietnam and all the protests. But anyway, so these guys were part of Students for a Democratic Society, which was a left, which was a West Coast group that spread throughout the country. And then you had the Yippie movement, which was Northeast New York, tricksters, pranksters, fun people like Abby Hoffman, part activist, but also part comedian, probably one of the funniest people in that whole genre of people. So anyway, there's a riot, whatever. The police beat the shit out of everybody. The cops go nuts. Richard Daley was the mayor, and he sends them all out to fight everybody. Even Dan Rather got the shit beat out of him and arrested in 1968. So anyway, HBO puts this movie out. And some of the people in this teleplay were Brian Benben, which you know from Dream On. He played Tom Hayden. You had Peter Boyle, who played David Dellinger. Robert Carradine played Rennie Davis. Some other people, Elliot Gould played an attorney named Leonard Wineglass, who the judge kept calling Fine Glass. Is that in the movie?
It's in the movie.
Okay. And then there was interstitials with the actual people. So Tom Hayden, Abby Hoffman, William Kuntzler. An actor named Michael Lembeck played Abby Hoffman. And Michael Lembeck is most known for playing Max on One Day at a Time. He married Julie.
Right.
And Robert Loggia played William Kuntzler in the TV movie, and Martin Sheen. A lot of people were in it, and it's set in the courtroom, so there's no drama, there's no this or that, and everything. Anyway, I became obsessed with this because we're talking about 87 was the 20th anniversary is the Summer of Love, so this comes out also a documentary about Sergeant Pepper. So those were on VHS, and I was watching them over and over again, drawing Abby Hoffman, quoting him. Oliver North was in the news that summer. So, you know, it was a lot of weird shit. So we're talking about the late 80s. And then Jeff and I, in 1988, Jeff and I drove up to Ithaca College, where Abby Hoffman was debating G. Gordon Liddy, and they were debating the CIA. And typical, I was angry and all this. I waited in line to ask a question, and I didn't. I gave G. Gordon Liddy a Nazi salute and acted like an ass. And then subsequently later apologized to him when I met him in 1997 at a radio convention. I went, thank you, young man. Anyway, but it was cool. It was really cool to see those two in person. At the end of it, you got to get their autographs if you wanted to. And G. Gordon Liddy just sat there, and Abby Hoffman was opening beers. And where are we going? We're going to the bar. Let's go to the bar. So it's just fascinating, and I became obsessed. I bought the transcript. I bought the book, the transcript. I've read it several times, and you know, and then over the years, I just kind of forgot about it. And this movie comes out, and now I'm not watching that because
you should, though, man. If you love the story and you know the story, and you like that old HBO movie, this is.
But I don't like Aaron Sorkin's
amazing take on it.
I watched a scene where Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman are fighting, and Jerry Rubin's like, well, no, Tom Hayden. Tom Hayden is fighting with Abby Hoffman, which is, you know, Borat. And he goes, you don't really care about ending the war, blah, 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 blah. And they're having the back and forth. See, I don't know any of that stuff. And how accurate is it? Is it real? Who did he talk to?
Because you're saying that Abby Hoffman cared more about performing and being a comedian and getting in front of people and making money than he cared about ending the war. And he said if the war ended, he wouldn't have a soapbox to stand on. That was his whole point.
Right.
If the war's over, nobody's going to pay attention to Abbie Hoffman anymore.
I could see that. Okay. Yeah. So, but is that reality? Is that something?
Yeah, I imagine.
Because really, all I know about Tom Hayden once the once that's over is he became a congressman and he was married to and banging Jane Fonda.
He was like a country club normal dude that was just on the left and was against the war. And all he really did at the Democratic convention was let the air out of the police car's tires.
Yeah, and Abbie Hoffman did things like getting people together and trying to levitate the Pentagon, which was a joke.
Right. But Abbie Hoffman was like getting people together and then marching them right up against the police.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Tom Hayden wasn't really doing that.
What I like about Abbie Hoffman is what Tom Hayden in the movie is arguing against. Because obviously, some of them probably thought they could end the Vietnam War. I'm sure Abbie didn't think they could, and they didn't. The war ended in 1975. We've all seen the pictures of the helicopters being pushed into the ocean. Ford ended it. President Ford ended finished up the Vietnam War. One thing that the direct result of this, of embarrassing your own party at their convention, was in a close election, Richard Nixon became the president. And Hubert Humphrey became a joke and went back to wherever he was from. And then when Nixon ran in 72 against George McGovern, who was a super leftist, not like what we have now. I mean, this was a different time. He got his ass kicked. I think he won one state. And Nixon had a huge thing. So my thought about it now, looking back, I was like, these guys are awesome. I loved them. Da, 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 da. Now that I'm older, I'm like, okay, well, let's dial it back a little bit. And the thing about the movie that keeps me from wanting to watch it is because I looked at reviews on Twitter and I'm like, oh, everybody's saying the same thing. Like, it's almost like they're being paid to tweet the same thing. And it's all like, you can see how it's relevant.
Well, that's because they like do whoever the director of photography is, and this is probably Aaron Sorkin because he directed the movie, but they do stuff like pan in on the lock them up sign.
Right, right.
Which is,
I know, but it's completely
and the whole Black Lives Matter thing is a big part of it.
Right. But it's completely different. It's a completely different time. And I would say that the people now who act like the yippies probably aren't as intelligent as the yippies were. I'm just throw it out there. But I probably will watch it just because, like you said, Jeff, I've been waiting to talk to you about it on the podcast before I watched it, but because I know and like the story from back in the day, I'm just going to have to suck it up and watch it, even though I don't like Aaron Sorkin's dialogue. I just can't stand it.
Fucking amazing.
A great writer. You think so? God, I hated The West Wing. Snappy dialogue, snappy dialogue, snappy dialogue, snappy dialogue.
The newsroom, the way he wrote The Newsroom.
But people don't talk that way. Like he did
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, I loved the pilot of that show, and then I thought, oh, it's not going to be funny. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You give it 5 Molotov cocktails out of 5. I give it, I have to watch it before I get it. Are you going to watch it, Dustin? You have any interest in that?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I like Sorkin. I love
The West Wing. The Newsroom?
Yeah, that one monologue that Jeff...
Yeah.
Not
being the greatest country on earth.
Yeah, that was that was amazing, and how he delivered it was just awesome.
Yep.
Maybe I need to get over it. I guess I don't know. Maybe I should revisit it. I don't know. I love Martin Sheen. I should go back and watch The West Wing. I did watch the first season. Anyway, continue.
It was good. I mean, I would be interested to see. That was what I was kind of listening for. How he was going to put it up against today. How he was going to kind of make it reflect some of the things that are popping up now. And if he was going to use that as a vehicle, and sounds like he's done it a little bit, but as long as it's not blatant, just pushing it down your throat, I think that'll be okay.
I mean,
I'll watch anything he puts up.
Like Jeffrey Toobin forces things down throat.
Yeah.
Was
they got bullshit much it.
Did they have somebody playing Allen Ginsberg?
Yeah.
Really? Who played Allen Ginsberg in the movie?
I don't know who it was, but he looked great.
Ron Rifkin played him in the teleplay. You know who Ron Rifkin is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can find the teleplay after you watch the movie and you're into it, go watch the teleplay. It's completely just based on what happened in the courtroom with, like I said, footage and all that stuff, and the real people giving testimonials as to how they felt. But all right, you've convinced me. I'll stop being a bitch. I'll watch the movie, and then we'll talk about it next week. Then we'll have our next fight, which will be original Battlestar Galactica versus the modern soap opera Battlestar Galactica. Because you know, Battlestar Galactica. Oh, you know I'm right. Even Dustin agrees.
I do agree with Tim on that one.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's a very quality show, but it's fucking boring as shit. Everybody's a sidelong. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once yeah, but the journey it takes to start, and you know, letting those Cylons come uncovered is pretty good. I mean, there's a few I did not even fathom were Cylons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I kind of like that. I like the with that one, I like their backstory of the gods.
Yeah.
And how they were,
that's
how,
what I like,
how the, related
the mythology of the second, or the updated series, to me is more interesting. However, I will say that in the original Battlestar Galactica, the origin of the Cylons is vastly more interesting. They weren't robots created by humans to serve humans who rebelled. They were another race of these reptilian people who fought humans for centuries, and they died out, so they had to replace themselves with the Cylon robots. So I thought that was cooler, I think, than... And plus, the original series lent itself more to exploring other worlds. It wasn't just, these are the only humans left. In the original Battlestar Galactica, there were other planets. And it was kind of like, you could go to these planets and it would be like Star Trek. Am I right or wrong about that? I think I'm right about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot more Star Trek-y. It followed that. I think it tried to follow that Roddenberry theme as far as a world, you know, an open world as far as different worlds. But the new one, yeah, it was definitely based on that mythology and yeah, the soap opera-ness of it, but it was done well. It took the place of all those other things.
I don't disagree that it was not done well, and it was done well, and it was well acted and well written. And
prefer the old one.
But it wasn't a space epic.
It wasn't exciting. Right. It wasn't sci-fi. It was like, that shit could have happened on a fucking boat.
Yeah.
And it may have been that I just, when that came out, there hadn't been anything like that for a while or at all.
No, there hadn't been. It was one of those shows. Again, everything goes back to The Sopranos. A show like that couldn't have been made if The Sopranos hadn't been successful. You know, HBO said, we're going to make this marquee show. And they made it. It became a hit. And then every other network said, we need a show like that. So what does sci-fi have? They have that. It's really good acting. And Jeff's right. There are boring episodes. But once you've watched every season 15 times, you know which ones you can skip and which ones you don't need to skip. So
yeah.
But it was a great show. The ending was just kind of bizarre. But most of those shows do fizzle out and have weird endings. So. I guess we don't need to have that discussion next week. We've settled it.
Did you speak, not to bring up Raised by Wolves, but
Go ahead, bring it up.
I wanted to get your opinion on the ending.
Okay.
Specifically the very obvious connection to Adam and Eve mm-hmm. in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And the serpent, that I thought that was genius. As far as opening it up for a second season, I mean, starting with, you know, you have the people with the sun now, right, you know, with the group on the other side of the planet, mm-hmm. or their sun, and then them on the other side in the tropical region, which I guess was the habitable region of the planet,
or the more hospitable area.
Yeah. Do you still lean towards the planet itself being controlling and the entity that you thought it was a couple of episodes before the end?
I think There are entities on that planet that control things. Yes, I don't see how anything else could happen. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's Saul.
So you believe it's really divine?
I don't know if it's divine, but Saul is something.
Well, Saul would be God. That's their god is Saul.
Saul's a Cylon.
Saul. I did get some Cylon vibes, but to answer your question, or to just comment on what you said, yeah, there are a lot of biblical. I don't know if allegory is the right. I'm just going to say it. I don't know if it's the proper usage, but they kind of have that Adam and Eve vibe. The serpent, you just brought that up. I hadn't even thought about that, but obviously there were people already there that they didn't know about, right? That's what happens in the last episode.
Well, from what I gathered, the people that were there were humans that didn't make it to Earth. And because they were on that planet, they were devolving.
Yeah.
The ones that were wearing the masks that look like mini engineers, when they took the mask off, those people were ones that hadn't devolved as much. But the four-legged ones that ran mm-hmm. had devolved all the way down. So what the theory that I've been kind of leaning towards, and a lot of YouTube has backed it up, at least what I was thinking, is that something started humanity on both planets.
Okay.
So, I guess. And those hexagon temples are set up. There's the showrunners. I listened to an interview. He said there's 18 of them mm-hmm. on that planet. So something about those hexagon cubes. Some of them are a lot smaller, like the one you saw with the head attached.
Yeah,
it was producing the milk. And then the large ones that were in the desert.
Okay.
That they were thinking were a temple. From what I understand, something on that planet seeded Earth with the intent of humans creating the robots so that the robots could then create this new life form that she finally birthed at the end of the series. It was a way for
the creepy
evolution. Evolution to happen on that planet that was dying. So it was trying to rebuild itself. And then when you factor in the Adam and Eve avenue of that, it falls very much in that Ridley Scott.
So who were the people in the spaceship? Planet. That's my question. Which, were they people that were already existing on the planet that humans on Earth didn't know about?
No, they all came from Earth to go to the new planet.
All right. So they showed up after the first arc. The
android beat them there.
Okay. No, yeah, the android mother, as the necromancer, destroyed the arc. So who are these people at the end in the last episode?
The showrunner said that's the second arc. There was the arc that was made by the soul followers. Yeah. But what you never saw was the arc that was made by the atheist group.
Okay.
They have their own arc and they're their own group of people. So all those people that you saw that were building Mother and that group, the ones with the marks on their face, the lines, that's their arc.
Okay.
So they left as well.
What's my arc?
So they're going to show up in the second season. Where is this one? The soul, the souls people came and they were the antagonists, I guess, through this first season. The atheists are coming down this next time, and that's where, and it's going to be kind of interesting where it goes after that, but
okay.
Yeah, that's the. But there's, from what I understand, Earth is completely inhabitable, if it's even still there at all. I think it's completely gone.
They can't go back. You can't go back.
Now's the time we thank all of our Radio Labyrinth producers. Producer is a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who donates $25 a month or more to our podcast. So, without further ado, thank you, Chad Shepherd, who is also a sponsor, who comes in at the $50 mark, and we appreciate it very, very much. Chad has been a member since October 6th, 2017, and we love you for it. Also, thank you to Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom. Eric has been with us for almost 4 years. John Sutherland, member since 2018. Keith Tate, since October 14th, 2016. Matt Carter, since November 12th, 2016. Mike D, since August 1st, 2018. Tim Slayton, Sean Hall, since April 22nd, 2018. Todd Ellis, a member since January 19th, 2020. He's the youngest one. And last but not least, Emily Warren, who joined up on May 19th, 2018. Thank you to each and every one of you so very much.
So, are you gentlemen ready to play? I am the Red Box Troll. How are you?
Hey, Ian.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Ian Nubbinsworth. See, Roby nearly figured out my lineage. And did you guys know the original Red Box Troll is still alive? We'll have to find him. I don't know exactly where he is, but hopefully he returns to the show. Maybe he's somewhere with Jeffrey Toobin masturbating. So this week we have another horror movie. And if you're not familiar with Rad Libs is like Mad Libs, but it's not the same. We take a movie summary and I ask these gentlemen to give me the proper words, whatever. And then I read it and we tell you what it is. It's real exciting. So I can tell everyone's excited. Dustin, we'll start with you today. I need the name of a famous director.
Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright. Okay, Jeff. Film genre.
Musical.
Dustin, U.S. geographic region, please.
Southwest.
Jeff, any famous person?
Jeffrey Toobin.
Okay, Jeff, his career is dead.
It's dead.
Dustin, a type of criminal.
Forger.
Jeff, an action verb.
Stab.
Dustin, a thing. A body thing.
Trailer.
No.
Body thing?
Yes.
A thumb.
Jeff, a verb.
Walk.
Dustin, one more verb.
Jump.
Jeff, a girl's name.
Susan.
Dustin, a color.
Blue.
Jeff, a noun.
Knife.
Dustin, a relative or relatives.
Aunt.
Jeff, verb.
Ball.
Ball.
Or and, ball.
And, last but not least, Dustin, I need the name or a gender, and there's 700 of them, so choose wisely.
You need a gender. Him.
Oh, no, gender.
Mm-hmm. Oh, male.
Male, okay. Here we go. This one's, here we go. Ready? In Edgar Wright's classic musical film, several Southwest teenagers fall prey to Jeffrey Toobin, a disfigured forger who ends up stabbing the teenagers in their thumbs, which in turn walk them in reality. After jumping the phenomenon, Susan begins to suspect that a blue knife kept by her and her friend's aunts may be the key to balling the mystery. But can Susan and her male friend Glenn solve the puzzle before it's too late? You know the movie?
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yes, it
is. That's what I was going to say, too.
Excuse me. I had to cough there. Yeah, so next week we'll do one that's not a horror film. But that was, of course, Nightmare on Elm Street, and it cracked me up. They fall prey to Jeffrey Toobin. You want to go tubing this weekend? Has a whole new tune.
They were tubed by the Toobin.
Tubed by the Toobin. So I didn't really watch anything the last week except for baseball. I watched a lot of baseball because I was excited. I was like, I want the Braves. 7 games they went, and they did not make it. So maybe next year. But I'm done with baseball, so now I can get caught up on.
What happened there at the end? Because the Braves were winning when I stopped watching.
They lost?
Yeah, but something happened. They fucked up something.
Well, they gave up 2 home runs. And the pitching was pretty good other than that. They just couldn't hit. They couldn't bring people on. They would load the bases or get 2 people on. In that game 7, early on in the game, they had a really bad base running mishap. It was a double play. That was that game. Did you watch that, Dustin? Are you in the Braves?
No, not really.
So I don't know I don't know which game. It was either game 6 or game 7. I think it was game 7, but they fucked up. And, you know, nobody expected him to get that far. The Dodgers are a hard team to beat. And now it's the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays, which starts tonight. We're recording. So by the time you hear this, game 1 will have been finished. And if you're watching the YouTube video, then there's probably 3 games that have gone by. But I wish them both luck. I don't give a shit. I was happy for Jeff because the Giants won this weekend and the Bills lost their second. Oh, so on the Bills.
Everybody lost in the NFC East except the Giants.
The NFC least. It's what it is. But Jeff, you watched some stuff. You want to tell us what you watched?
I watched all of The Haunting of Bly Manor. Anybody watch any of that?
Now, how is that?
It's not bad.
I haven't jumped in yet. I want to watch it all at once, probably like you did. Just
one push. It's creepy. It's not as, I don't know. I thought the other one, the Haunting of Hill House, was scarier. This one's like creepier. That's pretty good. What else did I watch? Brave New World on Peacock. Anybody check that out? It's young Han Solo. The dude that was young Han Solo.
Oh, I like him. You guys keep talking. I'm going to go pee. This is becoming virtual, but I have a shitty prostate.
Based on the book.
Brave I haven't gotten world. Peacock yet. That's the one extra app.
I've given it to us for free. That's the only reason I have it. And it was supposed to be Peacock Premium, but I've sat through a shit ton of commercials, I'll tell you that. If that's the premium.
Hate to see what the other one.
Commercials on there.
What else is on there?
The 3rd season of AP Bio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like that. That's great.
Yeah, I've been spacing those out. I don't want to blow through them all so fast. I've been watching like 1 a week.
I haven't heard anything about Letterkenny lately. Do you know if they're putting it next season?
They say that they filmed season 9 because they usually film back to back.
Right.
So 9 should be in the can, and it would come out in December like it has in previous years.
Yeah.
And then they're supposed to go back into production with 10 and 11. When Canada can go back to filming.
Right.
Which show are you talking about? Walking Dead?
One that'll be Letterkenny.
Oh, okay.
So well, hopefully that season 9 will come out in December.
Yeah, that'd be great if it would. Because they haven't released. What was the last thing they released was last December, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they do the holiday ones, but they didn't do those this year.
No. Watch the Fear of the Walking Dead and Walking Dead World Beyond. They're all right.
Still slogging along, right?
Yeah. John Bronco on Hulu. That's pretty funny.
What's that about?
It's like a mockumentary about this dude, John Bronco, who was the Ford Bronco spokesman in like the 70s.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's old ass eyes. What's his name? Walton Goggins.
Yeah, that's what Jeff calls him.
Ass eyes.
And Tim Meadows is in there, a bunch of other people. Check that out. Pretty funny.
What was the thing I saw a trailer for that Goggins is in? I really want to see
Bad Santa or the Fat Man.
Yeah, with Mel Gibson. That looks so good, Fat Man.
Yeah. It does look good.
My staff pick, I'm going to recommend the new season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, David Letterman's chat show, comes out on Netflix this week.
That's awesome. Are they going to dump all of them, or is it a weekly thing?
Yeah, I think they're going to dump all of them at once. And he's having like Kim Kardashian, Dave Chappelle, Robert Downey Jr., Lizzo.
Nice.
Yeah.
When is Norm coming back? Ever? Or is he just...
No, Norm got canceled, so I don't know. I thought he was going to do something on YouTube, but...
He really got canceled? I thought that was... No, he didn't. Did he really?
On Netflix? Yeah.
Oh, I just meant he could do his... I thought you were using the modern use of canceled.
Gotcha. Netflix canceled the...
Well, all right. That's all the gas I got in my tank, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about. I thought it was a good show.
Staff pick or anything?
Me? No, Dustin. He probably has one. I don't have one.
What was that?
Yeah, my staff pick is Look Out for Shorts by Garrett Phillips. Buy it today.
What I watched real quick, I watched Evil on Netflix. It was a CBS show. I got the guy from Luke Cage.
And that dude from Lost, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the guy from Lost plays Ben. It's pretty good. It's kind of like the X-Files meets The Exorcist, the new Exorcist show that they made. It's pretty good. I watched the whole first season. It runs like a CBS show. I mean, it's kind of procedural in a way. I mean, as far as formulas that it follows, but I enjoyed Sherlock, and it's kind of that same kind of style and look to it too. Also I watched a movie from 1985 called Come and See. It's a Russian movie.
Jeffrey Toobin story.
Yeah. Come and See. This one's a Soviet, it's about a Soviet boy who gets caught up in the resistance against the Germans, and it's kind of like happens over 2 days. He finds a rifle at the very beginning of it, and these planes fly over, and because he's a kid holding a rifle, they think that the town has, you know, soldiers in it. So they send in all these Germans, and you know, it's horrible. I mean, it's a horrible situation and movie. It ranks right up there with Schindler's List and things like that. But in turn, I also watched the entire run of Band of Brothers again.
That's a great show.
It is. I mean, I'd forgotten how many people started their career with that.
We're supposed to be working on a new one.
Yeah.
South Pacific or something.
It's set in, but it follows the Air Force. Right. Yeah. So it's all the bombardiers of World War II. Still produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. So I assume it'll still have that same quality to it. But yeah, that was really good to watch again. And my staff pick, Animaniacs is coming back out on Hulu. They're having new episodes, and they're also bringing back Pinky and the Brain. So
no way, original voices.
Yeah, yeah. Supposedly everybody's coming back.
Cool. Check that shit out, man. All right, Dustin, you'll come back and join us again soon, I hope.
Sure, always.
Sure, always. You do such a good job on the videos, man. I totally appreciate it. Okay, I don't have any staff picks, so I guess until next week, please. Thank you, Tim Slayton. You're added to the slate and the audio this week. totally appreciate it. All right, guys, I'm gonna go walk the dog with Jeffrey Toobin. And until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
And now we give a shout out to the rest of the donors: Aaron Roberts, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Malazzi, Brian Jackson, Brian Nix, Buck Monterey, Chris Cosentino, Dave Benson, Denise Reynolds, Gwyn Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, Mark Weiland, Randy Reeves, Robert Kearns, Kevin Stokes, Wayne Blair, Ashley Rose, Chris Knight, JW, Kevin Schwartz, Lou Caniglio, Mary Fouquet, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Walt Murray, Bradley A. Schumpert, Brandon C. Pilcher, Dustin Lawler, Jason Heft, Nick Starks, Trent, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, David C. Funk, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Robert Calderman, Sherry Dougherty, and Tim Slayton. Thank you all very much. We very much appreciate it. And thank you for sticking with us for so very long and all year in this crazy 2020. Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, the four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.